It was a year ago. You're telling me about this neighbor that you feel like the Lord's really speaking to his heart, just things that he's saying to you, right, Sean? And at the same and you're a neighbor. At the same time, David Spearbreaker is telling me about this guy that's been asking about God and asking about the things of the Lord. So we started praying for him, and it's been about a year. Different things that you know that the Holy Spirit's just drawing him, drawing this Mike. And then he did come a few weeks ago. He came to church, I believe. And then this past Sunday, I don't know if it was during prayer, you text him and say, "Hey, are you coming to church this morning?" I think he said no. But then after he said that, he texted. Is it text or texted? Anyway, I don't know which one's plural. You know, it's one of those words. He texted David Spearbreaker and said, "Hey, are you going to church this morning?" And he said, "Yes." He says, "Okay, I'm going to come." And so, you know, all that time over a year. So anyway, I didn't know for the longest time that that David Spearbreaker and Sean were talking about the same guy. And then when he came here, I just pray for Mike that the devil does not steal what. Father, we thank you for not stealing what. I know you've got a purpose for that man's life. Just the way he came to you. And the way that we've been praying for him for so long, I just thank you, Father God, that the enemy can't steal the seed of the Word of God in his life, Lord, that you'll seal that in the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name, that he'll be an overcomer, and that you'll bless his wife and his daughter, Father, to come into the kingdom. Lord, we just declare over his life that him and his Mike and his household shall be saved in Jesus' name. So we just declare that, Father. So we thank you, Father, for ministering to Mike to begin to speak to him through the Holy Spirit. And it was one of those ones where you know, I mean, it's like when he gave his life to the Lord, you just knew that it was genuine. I mean, with tears and then praying to receive the Holy Spirit, you just knew the Holy Spirit was all over him. So it was just awesome. Anyway, I couldn't help but give that because it was like a year in the making. So that song where it says, "Even when I don't see it, the Lord is working." Amen? And Lord, we thank you for many more like that. Did you notice that was the body who did that? It wasn't me. I might have been up here watering, but all the seed, they were doing all the plowing and the planting, and I had the opportunity to water, but that was the body. That was the whole body doing that. Amen? We're on John session chapter 13. John chapter, or not John, John session. Boy. The Gospel of John, we're going to be at John chapter 3. We're going to start with verses 13 through 15, but it's John, we're in session 13. Can you put that picture up there, that picture? Do you remember where I left off? If you were here last Wednesday, do you remember where I left off? And the reason why I had that up there, because I'm going to go, we'll just leave it up there a minute. So you can see the pole, looks like a cross. The Bible, it depends on what version, it'll say a pole or a different, what was made. So that was a bronze snake that we're going to read about. So real quick, so thank you for doing that, Bill. So you see that, you got a picture, that actually happened in Numbers. We're gonna read about it actually. Because in John chapter 3, verses 13 and through 15, it says, in the New American Standard, it says, this is Jesus talking. No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And then Jesus says this. He says, and just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So you see that picture of that serpent lifted up, right? A bronze serpent. So that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life in him. So given this example, and if you go back, I want to read what it says in Romans 15:4 says, for whatever was written in, this is Paul, so for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope and overflow with confidence in his promises. So knowing that even in the New Testament and things as we reread them and decipher them, rightly dividing the word of truth, many promises for you and I also in the Old Testament, amen? Because Paul just said that, hey, all these promises, so we can have confidence in his promises. And so Jesus is saying, hey, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so I must be lifted up. So we know that was a foreshadow, a type of what Christ would do when he was hung on a cross. So what happened exactly? So I want to go back real quick. So for some of you I know are Bible scholars, so pretend like you're interested. Okay? So when he says that as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness. Well, let's go back and let's read what happened in the wilderness, going to Numbers 21. This is where this story is. So let's read what was happening and what was the situation, and it really gives a depiction of why Christ had to be lifted up and hung on that cross. So then they set out. This is the Israelites, Numbers 21, 4 through 9. Then they set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient because of the journey. And you got to think about this impatient, the people, the Israelites. There's several million Israelites who've come out of Egypt. They've went through the Red Sea. And by the way, they became impatient. And they had seen a lot of things happen up to this point. They had just utterly destroyed and defeated the Canaanites who had come out to attack them. And God gave them the Canaanites, and they defeated them. Just before, in the chapter before this, God had already brought water out of the rock twice for them. They had witnessed Korah's rebellion. Korah's rebellion was Korah and his household and some other households. They came out to Moses. They said, hey, Moses, who do you think you are? You're acting like our boss here. We're getting tired of it. You act like you're the man here. And Moses said, hey, this wasn't my ideal. It wasn't my ideal to put myself in this position. And then, so they got to see what happened. Korah's rebellion, where God said, hey, separate. Moses said, if you're near Korah or any of his family or any of his buddies that are part of this, get away from their tents and their houses, because they had tents, right? They're traveling in the wilderness, so they have tents. They had the tent of meetings, which is what they used for worshiping and for where God was, a tent of meetings at that time where God was talking to Moses, and where they had their sacrifices. So they would have to gather that up, and then God would lead them with the cloud by day and the fire by night. And so they had just seen where God said, separate from Korah and his household, everybody who's a part of that. And then it said the ground opened up and swallowed all of them. And so it's interesting that you find where Israel, God's brought manna, God's defeated the enemies, God twice brought water out of a rock, he's fed them with quail and everything, and then they say they became impatient because of the journey. You know what, one thing that God in our New Testament, you got to understand, is he has been patient with us during our journey. Isn't he patient with you? And because of that patience under our new covenant, man, understanding his patience towards me and reading things like this, saying, Lord, you've got this. Christ is that rock. You're watering my soul from within. Man, you're speaking to my heart. That water today, even Paul said, that water was Jesus, the rock. Who is the rock in our lives? Who waters our souls? So during times where we can become impatient in our walk with the Lord, just remember that he'll continue to water your soul. He'll continue to provide for you, amen? He'll continue to defeat the enemies in our lives. Let's not grow impatient. Let's not give up. Let's not give in, amen? The promises is God will come through over and over and over again, amen. And so they said, impatient because of the journey. Verse 5, so the Egyptians, so the people spoke against God and Moses. Again, right? After everything God's done for them and what they've seen God do to people that were kept complaining and not walking in faith towards God. They said, then the Lord, it said, so number, verse 5, so the people spoke against God and Moses, why have you brought us up from Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we are disgusted with the miserable food. Verse 6, then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And so as we go through this, we're going to talk why that was. We're going to talk about the law that they were under and the curse of the law. The curse of the law. Has anybody ever here ever read Deuteronomy chapter 28? Where it talks, we'll get there, if we get there tonight, I don't know. Where it talks about in Galatians chapter 3 that Jesus became a curse for us. Cursed is anybody who's hung on a tree. That's in the law. And so if you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, it talks about all the blessings, but then it talks about the curses. And so as they became disobedient to God, they again and again experienced the curse of the law. So the people came to Moses and said, verse 7, and said, we have sinned, because they'd been bitten by these snakes, because we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Intercede with the Lord that he will remove the serpents from us. And Moses interceded for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent, or bronze serpent in some other text, make a fiery serpent and put it on a flagpole. And it shall come about that everyone who is bitten and looks at it will live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on the flagpole. And it came about that if a serpent bit someone and he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. So Jesus saying, hey, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so I must be lifted up. You know, what's interesting is that you think of that snake, or you think of what it represented. You know, it represented man's sin. It represented man's rebellion. It represented everything that was contrary to God since man was born into sin. Since the fall of Adam and Eve, snakes or the enemy bite people daily. The poison of sin. The poison of the lies of the enemy. Whatever addiction or whatever thing you deal with or anything that's contrary to God, I can guarantee you it's a type of poison from the enemy. And so when they had rebelled against God, being bitten by these serpents, and then God making a way out, just as the bronze serpent was lifted up, Jesus was lifted up once and for all. Once and for all for sin. So not only Jesus was not sin, but he became sin for us. Amen? So when he was on that cross, he became sin. God actually turned his back on Jesus for a moment as he couldn't look at him, exhausting his wrath on the cross for sin against mankind. It's amazing to me that even reading these things, people will say, it can't be enough. But I'm telling you that if you believe in Christ, believing in his death, burial, and resurrection is enough. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him, by shame, overcame that, was put in the ground and raised from the dead, and is now at the right hand of the Father. So Moses made that bronze serpent. See, Jesus being lifted up was actually humbling himself. How did he lift himself up? He said, I must be lifted up. But in Philippians 2, 7 and 8, it says this, but emptied himself by taking the form of a bond servant and being born in the likeness of men. We're talking about Jesus, amen? And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. So God's lifting himself up was actually being born in the flesh, being perfect, lowering himself as mankind and willing to be hung on a cross, amen? Like for you and I, for when you think about humility, what is humility for you and I? Well, humility is first saying, God, I can't pay the price for my sin. Lord Jesus, I can't take care of the sin problem in my life. Lord, I can't take care of the issues in my life. But if I humble myself and look to you, Lord, you're the one looking unto Jesus, then the power of the enemy, like those snakes that were in the desert, God heals us, delivers us, and sets us free. You think about the different things I have to say that today that are a type of serpent in this world. Remember Adam and Eve, right? So we know that in Genesis chapter 3 is where we meet a serpent who was talking to who? Talking to Eve. And said, hey, and began to lie, the father of lies. So seeing what that serpent represents started in Genesis chapter 3. And through all of mankind, seeing what the enemy does, a type of serpent in our lives. But I'm glad about this, the scripture that Jesus gives. It says, you shall trample on snakes and scorpions and over every type of the enemy. Amen? So once again, the snakes and scorpions Jesus is talking about is not literal snakes and scorpions. Amen? I'm not interested in stepping on a snake. How about you? But in the spirit, and we're talking about the enemy, you shall trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Amen. So when Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up that bronze serpent and they looked at them, they were healed from their wounds, from the venom of the snake. And I think that the venom of sin, the venom of what happens in our lives, when we look unto Jesus, he is willing and able and does heal us of those things. The power, breaking the power of the enemy, as Moses lift up that serpent. If you look at that serpent as a representation, of course, why did he use that bronze serpent? Once again, realizing it's that Jesus became sin for us. He became the curse for us. Amen? The curse for us. 2 Corinthians 5:2 says, just a reminder of a lot of these scriptures, you know, for he made him who knew no sin. I have something different there, Bill. 2 Corinthians 5:2, he made him who, it's verse 21. That is my, I apologize. So 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. Under the new covenant, Christ has become the curse for us. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Galatians 3, 12 and 13. Bill, I think I got this one right. However, the law is not of faith. You're of faith. Amen. It says, however, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, the person who performs them will live by them, it says. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Hallelujah! Him being a curse for us. And I can say that, what is the curse of the law? I challenge you to read Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. You think of why God had the law, and you know, if he didn't have the law, and a lot of people paid the price for the law. But you see a lot of people in the Old Testament that didn't. Did King David, when he murdered somebody and committed adultery, he should have been killed or stoned. He was not, amen? There was people who understood God's mercy that received God's mercy. You know, when you read that whole chapter and you see those blessings, you know, when I read those, matter of fact, I want to go there right now. We're going to take it. Is it all right if we go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, guys? Let's read that. 28, Deuteronomy chapter 28, Bill, and I'm going to do it in the New American Standard. The blessings. So Deuteronomy chapter 28 says, Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I'm commanding you today. Now, we know under the new covenant, can I follow in my strength? Can I follow the commandments? Absolutely not. That's why it says he became a curse for me. That he nailed all those laws, all those things that are against me, he nailed them to the cross. But can I still walk in his blessings? Absolutely. Now, it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all he his commands, which I'm commanding you today, that the Lord your God will put you high above all the nations of the earth. Almost sounds like what the United States has been, hasn't it? Not realizing that the blessing of God has been on this nation. Well, a lot of us realize, but you think about it. I'll make you high above all the nations. Who has been like America the last 75, 100 years? Nobody. Will put you high above all the nations of the earth. Verse 2, and all these blessings will come to you and reach you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed will you be in the city, amen. And blessed will you be in the country. Blessed will be the children of your womb, amen. The produce of your ground and the offspring of your animals, the newborn of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed will be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed will be you when you come in, and blessed will be you when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated by you, amen. I love this, that they will go out against you one way and will flee at your presence seven ways. The Lord will command the blessings for you in your barns and in everything you put your hand to. I receive that in the name of Jesus. How about you? And he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God has given you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself. We're a chosen generation, a holy people. Amen. As he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, so all the people of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you, and the Lord will give you more than enough prosperity in the children of your womb, in the offspring of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land, in its season, to bless every work of your hand. And you will be lent, you will lend to the nations, but you will not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you will only be above and not beneath. And if you listen to the commands of the Lord your God, which I am commanding you today, to follow them carefully, and do not turn aside from any of the words which I am commanding you today, to the right or to the left, to pursue other gods to serve them. So that's what he talks about, the blessing, amen? But if you, I'm only going to read a couple of things, and it says, but it shall come about if you do not obey the Lord your God to be careful to follow all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, then all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed will be you in the city, cursed will be in the country, and then it goes, I won't read the whole thing, it just talking about the curses. You know, this curse of the law, you wonder, why did God make this blessing and this curse? Well, it was this way. If God hadn't set the law, Israel would have just become just like the countries around them. They would have not become any different. It was actually the curse of the law is what God used to discipline his wrath to get his people to come back to him. If you read in the Old Testament what happens during the time of the kings and the judges, they would come to him and they would serve him and then they would forget about him and then their enemies would come in and would destroy them basically and then they say, okay, God, we repent. They would come back to him and they would go back and forth, repent, backslide, repent, backslide, repent, backslide. And it was the curse of the law that always brought them back to the Lord. The curse of the law. Matter of fact, I told you those years ago when I read this one time during church, I realized that I said, wait a second, a lot of these curse things I read, I recognize in my life. If I'm recognizing some curses, why can't I recognize the blessing? And that's why Paul says, hey, cursed is he who's hung on a tree. He died for you. He took the curse for you and I. So as he lifted up, Moses was just giving an example of what Christ would do. The enemy, the effects of sin, the effects of the curse of the law was all on that cross when Jesus died. You know, matter of fact, if you continue to read, if you read that whole thing, that curse becomes so bad that even God says that, you know what, when you turn away from me and you don't come back, there'll become a time that you will, that the most tender-hearted woman would eat her children. Doesn't that sound horrible? And it happened. It happened. You had the book of Jeremiah. It happened in the book of Lamentations. When the Israelites, when Jerusalem was surrounded by the Babylonians, starved them out. And that's when they were sold into to slavery and bondage for 70 years. But you know what? For you and I, we don't walk in the curse of the law. During even that time, God had a plan. Doing it at the right time, Jesus would show up on the scene. If you are experiencing anything of torment in your life, anything where the blessing's not in your life, I'm telling you, that is not the Lord. That is not God. That's not God's plan for you. I'm not saying you're going to be filthy, rich, multimillionaire, but I'm telling you that God will take care of you. He'll bless you with peace. He'll bless you with strength. He'll bless you with goodness. He'll bless you with His Holy Spirit. He'll take care of you. He'll heal your heart. He'll heal your body. He'll bless your home. That's what you call the blessings of God. I don't have any desire. I'm not going to walk in anything called a curse. And nowadays people say that God's going to use that curse to discipline you. I simply do not believe that. He uses His Word. He uses His Holy Spirit. He uses you sowing what you reap. As it says in Galatians 6, if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap destruction. So I look past the last 10 or 15 years or 20 years where I did not understand grace in my life, and I never experienced what I should have in punishment. The Lord knew where I was going. All the problems I had, and they were many, were a product of my own sowing. It was a product of my own misunderstanding God's goodness. Always waiting for Him to discipline me. Always waiting for Him to put a rod to my back, or to be like a sheep that I had gone astray. He's going to break my leg. And after these 20 years, looking back, saying, God, it's the kindness of the Lord that leads a man to repentance or woman to repentance. I didn't get anything that I deserved. You protected me until I understood grace. I didn't get anything I deserved, but I sure had a lot of reaping. And I look back and say, man, Lord, that was my own doing. You protected me, actually, during that time from things. I don't know about you, but even during some difficult times or before you knew the Lord or during your struggles, I know many of you could say, the Lord protected me. That's my God, protecting Him. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in the blessing. Father, I thank You that we're not walking in the curse, but I thank You that we are walking in His blessing. Every day when I get up, say, Lord, thank You for, I give this day to You. Thank You for blessing me. Thank You for bringing provision to me. Thank You for leading me. Thank You for guiding me. Thank You for protecting me. Thank You for giving me a right heart in my relationships. Thank You for continuing to grow me in You. Amen. Lord, I thank You that I trample on snakes and scorpions and over all power of the enemy. Looking unto Jesus, who became sin, who became that serpent, actually, the power of sin on that cross, and hung there and took it all for me. Amen. So when Jesus said, like Moses, who put that serpent up, we have a little bit of more of an idea what it meant. Foreshadow of Jesus Christ. A foreshadow of His love for you and I. It's hard to understand that even during that whole time of law and what happened, God was going to shed His love abroad. That He was going to include the Gentiles into faith. Amen? And including us making one body. Not two bodies of Jewish believers and Gentile believers, but Paul says one body. Amen. For God so loved the world, verse John 3:16. Are you familiar with that scripture? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that everyone who what? Believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. Eternal life, and eternal life starts right now. Amen. You're living in eternal life right now. Did you know that? You'll never die. There's that thin line between life and death, but you just step over and into eternity, or into God's into heaven, or into what now would be into my mind. Sorry. Go on. Paradise. Amen. Thank you. By the way, when it's all said and done, where are we going to be living? Right here. Said there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and the new Jerusalem's coming down. 1,000 square miles. 1,000 miles tall. And 12 gates made out of solid pearl. That's where you and I are going to be living. It says there won't be a sun anymore because God will be its light. There won't need to be a sun anymore because God will be its light. That's going to be awesome. Amen. But we live in that right now by a deposit of the Holy Spirit. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world. Amen. But so that the world might be saved through him. The one who believes in him is not judged. Amen. Did you hear that? The one who believes in him is not judged. But the one who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of his only Son, God, Son of God. Verse 19, and this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. Now you think of that, though, that deeds were evil, and you just think of, like, wicked sins. But you know, people's own righteousness can't get them there. There's many people that I know that are good people, that are good citizens, but don't know him. Their own self-righteousness. Isaiah 64:6 in the Amplified Version says it this way. For we all have become like one who is ceremonially unclean. He says, how many? All. Like a leper. And all our deeds of righteousness are like filthy rags. We all wither and decay like a leaf. And our wickedness, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing, like the wind, takes us away, carrying us far from God's favor or destruction. Some people, I know it's hard to maybe to swallow, but there's people out there that take pride in their self-righteousness, but it might as well be evil deeds. They will gloat in them. They'll take pride in that. They'll say, but look at my life, look what I'm doing. But yet will reject Christ based upon a pride of their own self-righteousness. It's also talking about those type of deeds that keeps people coming to the light. Matter of fact, that could be the worst form of deception, is I'm a good person. I don't do all these things. Look at all the things I'm a part of. I help people, but yet they reject Christ because their own righteousness. Get them there. That is avoiding the light. That is actually running from the true light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world. I'm going to read that again. 19. And people love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. Romans 10:1. I want to read this. It says, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is for their salvation. So what's he talking about? For I testify about them that they have a certain enthusiasm for God, but not in accordance with correct and vital knowledge about him and his purposes. Verse 3, for not knowing about God's righteousness. Whose righteousness? God's righteousness, which is based on faith, and seeking to establish their own righteousness based on works. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Aren't you glad you submitted to his righteousness? For Christ is the end of the law. Listen, brothers and sisters. For Christ is the end of the law. It leads to him, and its purpose is fulfilled in him. For granting righteousness to everyone who believed in his Savior. So what did Paul say? Hey, they were zealous. Zealous for the law. Zealous for a form of righteousness, but it just led to darkness. You've known this, and we'll see it as we go through this book of John, that those who were the most religious, those who kept the law to the best of their ability, and also not just the written code, but also they had other codes, verbal codes that they kept to the very best of their ability, trying to keep that. But Jesus in the end said to them, because you claim to see, aren't you glad you see through Jesus Christ, through faith? Aren't you glad that you, looking unto Jesus, who shed his blood, you believing that in faith, receiving the Holy Spirit, that everything you need is found in that faith? You'll grow in righteousness, but it's always going to be grounded in that faith and looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Can we stand up real quick? Let's pray before we go. Lord, just as Jesus said it, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And Lord, I thank you that when he was lifted up, that curse that he was nailed on the cross for, cursed is everyone who is nailed on a tree. Paul didn't make that up. That came from the Old Testament. He was just revealing what God had showed him again, saying, this is talking about my Son. And so, Lord, we thank you that by that, Lord, that through that, Lord, we have freedom in Jesus' name from sin. Father God, I thank you that our sins are washed away. Just a reminder, our sins are washed away by faith, only by faith. Father, I thank you that we have healing, Father God, in our bodies. Reminder, because you have taken on the curse of sin, the curse of sickness upon you. Because of that, Lord, if we'll believe it, we have healing in our bodies. Father, I thank you that because of that crown of thorns that you wore on your head, Lord, that we have freedom, Father God, from depression, from the lies of the enemy, from anxiety, in Jesus' name, as we look unto what you did, Father, on the cross for us. We might have made some mistakes. We might have done some things that weren't right, but all we have to do is brush ourselves off and say, thank you, Jesus, for washing all my sins away. Thank you for giving me a mind, Father God, that is healthy, that is whole, Father God, that is growing in you, Father. I thank you for peace dwelling in my inner man, Father. We thank you for freedom from anxiety, and we have that because of the blood that was shed on the cross. Lord, we thank you for showing us the power of faith in the finished work of the cross through the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for filling us afresh and anew with your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you, Father God, that we trusted and put our trust in you. Father, we thank you that it's the Holy Spirit, Father God, that speaks wisdom into our lives. Father, we thank it's the Holy Spirit that speaks peace into our lives. Father God, we thank it's the Holy Spirit that leads and directs us in the path that you would have us to go. And Father God, with that, we can say, Lord, I rest in you. Lord, I rest in you. As Moses lifted up that serpent, Lord, all it was just it was just showing that in the future there would come a day when Jesus would be sin. And he would be death, and he would be the curse of the law on that tree. And Lord, we thank you that all the laws that were written against me, all the things that are standing against me, all the things that the enemy can rail or accuse me of, Father God, have been nailed to the cross. And Father, I receive that. Lord, I receive that. Lord, I walk in that, Father God, I walk in that. And so we thank you for that, Lord, as a body, as brothers and sisters in Christ, made whole. Lord, I thank you that we're not broken, but we're made whole through you simply by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen.